You join me here on RNIB Connect Radio at Beyond the Visual Symposium here at the wonderful Welcome Collection, and I'm joined by Joss Boys, who is co-founder of the Disordinary Architecture Project with Zoe Partington. Joss, you obviously did a presentation this morning talking about the Disordinary Architecture Project and Architecture Beyond Sight. Do you feel that people who've been on the Architecture Beyond Sight are helping to make a change in architecture?
I think the Architecture Beyond Sight course, which is a kind of short course, a foundation level course for blind and visually impaired people, really helps us all develop alternative non-visual ways of designing. So that's been really powerful. And I think that for the people who study the course, so we have 10 students a year, it's a free course, a one-week residential study course. The people who come, it really builds confidence, it really builds their sense of their own abilities and their own creativity, which is very central to what we're doing. But then the wider intention is that out of that kind of blind or visually impaired creativity, we can shift, literally shift the way that architecture is taught and practiced. So we can begin to introduce design methods that aren't entirely visual, methods that include performance, that include audio description, that include really large scale drawing and painting and body mapping, different forms of modelling that are much more physical and tactile and robust, you know, models that you can touch and play with. So all those things, I think, are coming out of the project. And what's difficult is the next step, which is to take those things back into mainstream architecture schools, built environment education and practice, and say, these are really useful things we can learn from.
And I suppose for you, you've been involved in architecture for quite some time, because our journey goes back quite some years as well. But do you see that there's a change happening within architecture practices and architecture schools, thinking about actually somebody who's visually impaired or blind can actually bring something to architecture and bring something to design from a different point of view? Because the symposium today is obviously all about how we're seen and how art can be made more accessible. But I think there's something in architecture that possibly needs to change.
Yes, I agree with that. But I think we have a theory of change in the Disordinary Architecture Project, which is a kind of snowballing. And it's about changing mindsets, basically. It's about saying you start with a few people who are enthusiastic and keen, and then you just multiply that up. And I think it still feels early days, but it's also true that the project you and I were involved in, which was called A Sense of Place, and was about teaching, using audio description as a way of teaching sighted students how to really look at space properly and how to share with blind and visually impaired people the experiences that they have and the things that you bring through visual impairment to understanding a space and understanding beauty. And so it was an amazing kind of shared experience. And what's been fantastic for me is that one of the students who was worked on that project, as soon as they got into a position in education, they invited us back to do other projects. And so that's beginning to happen more and more. People who were taught in some way through a kind of disordinary architecture workshop are now inviting us into the practices they now work for, inviting us back into architectural education. And for me, that's, yes, it's kind of spreading the word. It really feels that the snowballing is beginning to happen. And I just add one more thing to that, which is because the Disordinary Architecture Project has made a safe space for disabled people to disclose their impairment, which you often don't do if you have an impairment that you can hide, or you can pass. You don't do that if you're studying architecture. You know, there's plenty of visually impaired people in architecture already. They just don't tell anybody. So part of it is there's more visually impaired people studying architecture and explicitly talking about engaging with the world differently. And there's more and more disabled architects and architectural students coming forward and declaring a sort of disability pride about that, that this is something they don't need to hide. This is something that mainstream architecture can learn from.
So I suppose, in a way, there's a great future for blind and partially sighted people within architecture, and perhaps that's been fostered by Disordinary Architecture Project.
I think there is. I think it's such a There's so many different ways of being in the world, and for me, that's central to architecture, that we enjoy those differences and we learn from those differences. And it's not just disordinary. You know, there are many, many blind or visually impaired people, creative people who are out there pushing these things forward, whether it's within mainstream architecture or whether it's in working in the field of access and inclusion or in museums and galleries. But it's just the more people we have, the more that we'll get to a kind of critical mass where it becomes just normal. It's just like part of how the built environment is designed and thought about, and how museums and galleries design exhibitions. You know, that's my dream.
And I think that's a sentiment to end on, because I think it's great to think that there will be a norm where blind and partially sighted people and obviously other disabled people will be considered as a norm and is considered as architects and artists as well. And Jos, thank you so much indeed for joining me here on RNIB Connect Radio.
Thank you, Toby.